Very cool. That's awesome. We're invited. That's tremendous. Woo! That's going to be cool. That is going to be such a neat event to be a part of. Awesome. You've had that experience, haven't you? You go to your mailbox and you open it, and what? There's the pile of junk mail to take out, right? All the ads. But then once in a while, what? Once in a while, there's something really, really cool, like an invite to a wedding or somebody's retirement party or somebody's having a luncheon or some other special event. And you get it and you go, wow, we're invited. That's going to be so sweet. As we finish our summer series this morning, we're going to see a set of invitations to live sent. A set of invitations to live sent. Now, next week, Dr. Daryl Meekins is going to be with us, and you don't want to miss Daryl. He is going to talk to us about some key principle, key concepts for flourishing in a fractured world. As Dan was praying earlier, it just reminded me again, it probably reminded you of what a fractured world we're living in right now. And Daryl, as one of our global partners, is going to help us unpack what it means in greater ways to really flourish in ways that are meaningful with the gospel. So you don't want to miss that. And then we start our brand new series the week after that, the 18th. What would Jesus say to? And we're going to look at what Jesus would say based on Luke's gospel, what Jesus would say to a number of key leading characters on the world stage right now. But then we're not going to leave it in their laps. We're going to see what he would say to us, because Luke's gospel holds major implications from Jesus' lips, not only for those movers and shakers in our world today, but for each of us, for us as Manor Church. So I want to encourage you, the next few weeks are full of really great things. I want to invite you to be prayerful and be anticipating how God is going to continue to stir and work within our hearts and lives as a whole congregation. So let's talk about these Live Sent invitations as we finish this summer series this morning. Final scene. Final story scene, verses 40 through 45 in Mark 1. Verses 40 to 45. I invite you to listen. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So throughout this summer in Mark chapter 1, we've seen Jesus and his disciples, and we've taken a dive into other places in Mark's gospel overall and seen the postures and practices and the overall priorities of Jesus and the disciples and what a discipleship pathway can look like, should look like, as we seek to live like Jesus every day, as we seek to live sent. Right here this morning, we see this culmination of concepts, all of them pointing us to this reality that those who are sent are willing to take bold risks and actually very, very open and available to live in the discomfort zone. We often talk about, you know, get outside your comfort zone. And it's one thing to say, well, I'll leave my comfort zone. It's another thing altogether to get very familiar with and anticipatory about living in the discomfort zone. And the Gospels make it clear that that's where Jesus and his disciples lived all the time, right there. By the way, this is not a tack-on concept. This isn't something to just kind of like add on like an elective course in your college degree. Oh, I'll tack on that elective. No, in Jesus' framework, in Jesus' discipleship pathway, this is all about life in him that overflows toward others. It's what will happen. If you are really, really growing in Jesus and becoming more and more like him, in all you do and all you say, you're going to live an others-oriented life. You're going to live sent. It's powerful what Jesus calls us to. Jesus aims for us to live purposeful and others-oriented on mission to impact others with eternal salvation. A salvation that starts in the here and now and echoes out for all of eternity. Now, in this final story in chapter 1, all of these concepts really do converge. They converge together, and we see a dynamic set of invitations to be sent. And right out of the gate, we learn that there's this man with leprosy. This man with leprosy who boldly, faithfully appeals to Jesus. Look at verse 40 again. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." In Jesus' day, this was more than a diagnosis. Way more than a diagnosis. Other translations actually assign the social label itself based on the ancient lingo. A leper came to Jesus. This label could be used to speak of all sorts of skin diseases, including what we know today as Hansen's disease, potentially severe and debilitating, and if unchecked, deadly. But also skin conditions like psoriasis and other conditions. In our day, we consider all of these treatable, which is wonderful. And so we get familiar with the lingo, like with commercials, like "Show more of you, oh Tesla." We get familiar with such things all over our TV screens. Even more severe infections are dubbed curable even in our day. But historically and specifically in biblical times, it was not curable, it was highly contagious. Not curable and highly contagious. And as a result, someone with leprosy was labeled and quarantined. In fact, hundreds of years prior, in the Hebrew law, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, spelled it out. Listen to this. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, 'When someone has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests. The priest shall look at the infected area on the skin of the body, and if the hair in the infection has turned white, and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair on it has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the person who has the infection for 7 days. Then the priest shall look at him on the seventh day, and if in his eyes the infection has not changed, and the infection has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 more days. The priest shall then look at him again on the seventh day, and if the infected area has faded and the infection has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a rash. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the rash spreads farther on the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the priest. The priest shall look, and if the rash has spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy." So, and some of you are like, "Please stop reading. I want to eat lunch today. That's really gross." And if you're curious about more, then go ahead and read some more there, because there's more detail about it and more things that might gross you out. But the deal is that it was something infectious, and it would spread, and it would grow. And if that was happening, then unclean was the label. There's a bunch more right there you can read. But then look at verses 45 and 46. They give summative social explanation. Note how serious. "As for the person who has the leprous infection, his clothes shall be torn. The hair of his head shall be uncovered. And he shall cover his mustache and call out, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. He shall live outside the camp." So what happened if you had leprosy? You were quarantined outside the camp, village, or town. And all of this ran through the priests back at the tabernacle and temple. They didn't have CDC in that day allocating days of quarantine. No, this was allocated by God's law in the Hebrew scriptures, the Leviticus passage we read. And the priests were responsible. Here's the extra ugly deal. Extra ugly. Lepers went to live in what was known as the leper colony. So you were put out there on your own, alone, but then we're all social beings, and so what happens? Well, you've got to be with somebody in order to be sustained and livable, and so what? You got grouped in a leper colony outside the camp. It's really ugly. And it pretty much meant you were doomed. I have friends who got COVID just a few days before I did. I didn't know I was getting COVID. I'd gotten it out in Kansas at a conference, and I wasn't testing positive yet, and so I went ahead, got on a plane, and came back to Pennsylvania, but these friends tested positive earlier, and so they responsibly skipped their flights back, and instead, along with others, they rented a van to drive back. So they were in a COVID van. And among friends, it got dubbed like that, the COVID van. And there were several of them coming back from this conference. In some cases, here's what's wild. In some cases, family members who weren't yet symptomatic or testing positive had to travel with the COVID positive people. Isn't that fun? If you didn't fully have it before, you could know for sure that you'd have it by the time you made the 15-hour travel back. You were doomed. And it was that way for lepers, only much more severe. In fact, healthy people in society viewed lepers as good as dead. They were actually thought of, the ancient records tell us, they were thought of as the walking dead, living corpses. And you avoided them no matter what. It's even recorded that people actually threw rocks at lepers, if they felt they were getting too close, they would throw rocks at them as a way of saying, "Stay away, you diddly outcast." But this man, this leper, has heard about Jesus. And so he takes the risk and he comes to Jesus. And he falls at his feet. Now, as he falls to his knees at Jesus' feet, what's he doing? He's actually declaring bold faith. He's actually exercising emerging faith. He confidently begs Jesus, and with evident, vocalized faith in Jesus' power to heal, he makes his request and confident declaration of his ability. He says, "If you are willing, you can. If you are willing, you are able." And this is noteworthy and exemplary faith. And so here's your first invitation in Living Scent. We're invited to exercise real faith in Jesus. We're invited to exercise emerging faith in Jesus. Now, Bible faith isn't fuzzy, whimsical, flighty, sometimes mysterious and curious. Oh, yes, absolutely. But it's substantive and it's sourced and anchored in Jesus. It's what makes Bible faith so beautiful. It's anchored and sourced in Jesus. His character and his powerful ability as Son of God. He's the one who transforms. He's the one who forgives and heals. He's the one who makes unclean people clean. And he makes those of us who are outcasts and on the outs and outsiders now included in the community. How? By his loving grace. By his loving grace, through our bold, humble faith. His loving grace, our bold, humble faith. So come to Jesus. Bow down and ask him with the declaration, Jesus, you are able to save me. You are able to cleanse me. You are able to make me new. You're invited. Are you responding? You're invited. Are you responding with a yes, I trust you, Jesus. Yes, I trust you. Now notice verses 41 and 42. They say, Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus was deeply stirred, and he touched the leper and mercifully made him clean. Realize the detail that Mark shares right here. Now, don't miss this. This is really cool. There are layers of description, rich nuances of explanation. Now, why is that unique? Well, this is Mark's gospel. And if you've been trekking this summer with reading it, you know Mark's gospel is known for brevity, quick economy of words, shorter, not longer explanations. But what happens here is rather rich and colorful in both description and dialogue. We get an internal explanation. Jesus' interior world, likely that Mark got this maybe directly from Peter, who may have been right there to observe and see and sense Jesus' tone and be able to read what was going on in Jesus' heart. New International Version of the Bible says indignant. Other translations say moved with compassion. What's fascinating is how this word, and we've seen it already in this series this summer, splachna, refers to your innermost arena of feelings. Splachna is deep stirrings inside. So, if we think of it as indignant, it means that Jesus is really worked up about this man's condition. The sin-cursed and horrible condition that he finds himself in, and that all of us find ourselves in. And there are other places where we know that Jesus, for Lazarus in John 11, he's deeply ticked at death, and he's all stirred up inside, and he's wholly ticked. If instead it's the idea of deep compassion, then it's Jesus' way of really, seriously, tenderly, sorrowfully being moved on this man's behalf. And it's very possible that it's a blend of both. Splachna works that way. I mean, you know how splachna works for you. If you're really tuned in to what's going on inside you, what? You see something, you sense something, you can get really worked up about it and then really move to tears in the next moment. And so here's your next invitation. We're invited to increase our compassion. We're invited to increase our compassion. How about you? Seriously, take stock. Ask yourself, what's my compassion quotient like? What's your own compassion, your own splachna look like and feel like? What's it look like when we increase our compassion? It means you're moved by what's wrong in the world. And not just complaining and grumbling and posting rants on Facebook or cursing at our times. A lot of people are really good at that. And let's be honest about that. When people go off like that, they're really enjoying being grumpy. It's more than that. So much more. Jesus' style of splachna is so much more. It means that we slow down enough to really lock eyes with people. To really lock eyes. And sense and know. And try to sense and know some more. To see their hurts and the holes in their hearts and how utterly messy life feels. I mean, this business of leprosy is just this huge metaphor for the messiness of life and the brokenness and the fractured business of life. We all feel it. Such a broken and messy world we live in. And we pause to really feel it with other people. But there's more. We aim to respond. We aim to take action. Here's what's incredible about Jesus. So incredible about Jesus. He responded by taking the risk and actually touching the leper. It's astounding. He did the unimaginable. He doesn't just speak healing over him. He could have done that from a distance. He could have spoken and said, be healed. But he actually touches him. Play along for a minute. Reach your hand out in front of you. Go ahead. Reach out. You're not going to have to touch anybody. It's just going to be you. Okay, go ahead. Now, what happens? Your hand is the agency of power and action and change. You do good things with your hands. You know how to change things up and conditions for people. In Israel's history, you can relax, by the way. Some of you just did your exercises for the day. Good job. Relaxing. In Israel's history, wonders got worked when Moses or Aaron obeyed God by stretching out a hand. That language strategically used, a reached out hand. In Exodus 4, verse 4, Exodus 7, verse 19, Exodus 8, 6, and 9, 22, plus a whole bunch of others. But now what happens on this day as this leper comes and exercises bold faith, what happens? Jesus reaches out his hand and works wonders. When's the last time you took a risk? Take stock for a minute. When's the last time you took a risk? How about it? Are you willing to say yes to risk and to reach even the untouchables? Sadly, for us today, this isn't just about leprosy. We establish our own present-day leper labels. Whom have you labeled as unclean, taboo, unworthy, or not able to be touched or associated with? Who have you labeled? We craft our categories. We all do it. We craft our categories based on economic standing, lifestyle choices, and political party affiliations, and success or lack thereof. We rank people. All sorts of labeling, we do it ad infinitum. Across history, Jesus followers who live sent, drop the labels and risk more. Jesus followers learn to drop the labels and risk more and reach more. Truth so evident with Jesus, life as Jesus' disciples, if you're going to live sent, you'll take Jesus-like risks and enter the kingdom discomfort zone. Note the result for this leper. Immediately, the leprosy left him. So, catch it. It wasn't like, oh, it went into remission. No, literally, the language is such a, it took off. It was gone. He was healed. Completely, totally, miraculous, divine healing transpires. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. And listen again then to Jesus' instructions. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. What's happening with such instructions? Jesus echoed the Levitical law's instructions. So he was reaching back to Leviticus again, this time Leviticus 14, 1 through 20, which gives all these details. Jesus just shares the synopsis. There will be examination, and if indeed the leprosy was gone, there would still be a time of waiting, and there will be some messiness involved and some more waiting, and then there will be sacrifice. Sacrifice, atonement, but the outcome will be wonderful. Why? Because you got to re-enter society. You got to rejoin the circle of belonging. You got to rejoin family and friends. You have been outcast, outsider. Now you get to rejoin. And Jesus shares the highlights of what the man's to do. This is important to note. In their culture, the priest did not heal. The priest did not heal. The priest would examine and declare healed. So what are the implications? Only God heals. Only God heals. And so when Jesus does this, reaches out his hand, touches the man, and says, go see the priest. What's happening? The God-man Jesus has healed. That's wonderful. Note how Jesus instructs him, just go to the priest. Don't make a big deal about it. Don't stop along the way to share it with others. Go to the priest. Well, we saw something similar a few weeks back, and it shows up across Mark's gospel, different places where Jesus says, okay, just don't make a big deal. Jesus is humble through and through. Plus, Jesus doesn't want to stir up more controversy before the actual time for his death and resurrection. But what happened? What happened? Verse 45 says, instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Don't miss this. In all of Jesus' loving compassion and gracious work, it's like Jesus swaps places with the leper. He so identifies with him in the messiness of his life and in the brokenness that the leper gets reincluded and Jesus ends up on the outside now. He so identifies with this man. And so at least for a time, Jesus ends up out in the lonely places. So here's another big invitation for you. We're invited to the kingdom discomfort zone. We're invited to the kingdom discomfort zone. Jeff Henderson says discomfort is the price for growth. Mark Sayers says to grow and lead others into growth, you must abandon the myth that leading will always feel good. Comfort zones insulate us against growth. Gray zones activate us into spiritual growth when we say yes, when we say yes to God's invitation to grow with him. How about it for you right now? Are you learning more and more that the discomfort zone can actually be a growth zone? Or are you so constantly churning and stewing and fuming and saying, I just want back to my comfort zone. I just want back there. That's the place where God blesses. Jesus' life and ministry and the true life of following him involves a discomfort zone. And there's one more invitation to live sent, and then we're done. We're invited to fully trust Jesus, Son of God, his sacrifice for us. We're invited to fully trust Jesus, Son of God, his sacrifice for us. See, all that Levitical stuff that seems so messy and bloody complicated, all the stuff in Leviticus about sacrifice this and bring this and do this, all of it was pointing to Jesus, Son of God, and his ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. All of it was pointing to him to atone for our sins, to bring us ultimate healing. Now you might have said today, hey, no leprosy here. What in the world does this have to do with me? I'm even my psoriasis is under control. Some of you might say, I have no monkeypox yet that I know of. What's this have to do with me? It has everything to do with every one of us. because it has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with what he did on the cross for you and for me. And you're invited to fully trust him. All of us need cleansed because on our own we're unclean. All of us need forgiven and healed. That's what Jesus ultimately did, affecting for you and for me on the cross. Do you have full trust? Full trust in what he so lovingly did for you. His once and for all sacrifice did for you and for me what the blood of lambs and bulls and birds was pointing toward way back in Leviticus. And in that day, right there, when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice. It has everything to do with Jesus and with you and me. Are you trusting him? The invitation is ours. The invitation is, it's yours. The question is, will you say yes? Are you willing to say, yes, I'm available? Thank you, Jesus, for such incredible healing, such incredible hope for this outsider, this man, this leper. Thank you. Thank you that you love us so much. That through your cross and through your resurrection, you have very, very effectively worked on our behalf so that we might be healed, so that we might be declared clean. Please help us leave the discomfort zone. Help us truly say, yes, we're available.